We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dan Favalli joins us from the Bleacher Report here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. So, Dan, the Raptors obviously up 2-1, and thanks for a couple of minutes. No Kevin Durant tonight. Are we at the point in this series where the Warriors need KD to win this series, or can they do it without him?
I still think they can do it without him, but this is going to be a 7-game slog if they do end up winning without him. Where if he comes back, you know, not that you'd expect them necessarily to win 3 games in a row, but without him, there's just a potential for disaster as well, where you could see them dropping Game 4 with, yes, Klay Thompson's coming back, but how healthy is he? You know, Andre Iguodala's banged up. There's so much that goes into it. And if I had to guess, though, I do think they're at the point where they'll probably lose this series if he doesn't come back at some point. And you would hope by Game 5, but even if we're looking at a potential Game 6 and 7.
Dan, do you think that injury is more serious, the Kevin Durant injury? Like, do you think there's something that they're not telling us? It just sounds kind of fishy. Like, he's going to be involved in live action for the first time. He's going to practice, and then, you know, he's questionable here, questionable there. Do you see him coming back if you're a betting man?
I would bet on him coming back because I don't see the optical value of them stringing the media and just the fans along only to continue ruling him out on a day-by-day basis. I think that's a bad look. There's definitely something here. They said there's no setback in his recovery, which means I'm not a doctor, but I would have to infer that this calf strain was not the mild calf strain that it was diagnosed as, because that initially had a 7 to 10 day timeline, I believe. And so now we're basically pushing a month. And so when you look at that, I know calf injuries can be fickle, like hamstring injuries as well. But for him to be diagnosed with a mild calf strain and then to miss all this time, I get that you want to prioritize his long-term health still, because you're hoping that he does resign. But just the way that this has gone, where it's essentially been a game-by-game case, I would have to believe that the initial diagnosis was just more serious than we were led to understand.
It's strange, obviously, with the Warriors trailing in the series 2-1. I almost feel like tonight is a must-win game, even though it's really not. You know, we keep talking about the adjustments that Nick Nurse has made, not only against the Bucks, but in the Eastern Conference, you know, right here in the NBA Finals against the Warriors as well. What adjustments do you think Steve Kerr needs to make tonight? Obviously, you get a big, you know, lift if Klay Thompson comes back. Maybe that's just the only adjustment that you need is another scorer out there. But what does Kerr have to do kind of to counter what Nick Nurse has done, you know, with Van Vliet, you know, shadowing Steph Curry, just little things here and there? What do you think that Kerr needs to do to pick up a win tonight?
Well, this, for me, it's obviously easier said than done when you look at the available personnel, but I think you have to get to a point where Draymond Green can play center now. I know that having Kevin Durant is just paramount to those lineups working, or to just even having the body count for it to make sense. But when you look at how well Marc Gasol has played in 2 of these 3 games now, you have to try and play Toronto's big men off the floor in some way, maybe force Toronto to consider putting Pascal Siakam at center, which might be a good setup for them, but it's not something that they've gone to very often this year, and I don't think we've seen it much in the playoffs, if at all. And so when you look at Kevon Looney being out, how much DeMarcus Cousins struggled in Game 3, you're not going to get 21-plus minutes of NBA minutes from Andrew Bogut every single night. Jordan Bell verges on unplayable. I think you have to turn to Draymond Green at center for longer stretches, and I don't know how you flesh out that lineup. You know, you have Curry, Clay, and Iguodala, so maybe you roll with McKinney there, or just go super small if you have more trust in Quinn Cook, or even putting in Shaun Livingston. It hurts your spacing, but you know he's someone who can be in the half court, at least semi-versatile on defense. So that's what I'd be looking for Steve Kerr to do now. Again, the personnel isn't suited for it, but you have to counter the way that Marc Gasol has been really able to take advantage of your front court in 2 of these first 3 games.
Dan Favalli, the Bleacher Report, joining us here on Chuck and Winkler. Ryan Horvath over for Chuck today. He'll be back Monday. These last 2.5 weeks for me, and I think a lot of us around here, but certainly me, to make everything about me, has been really, really tough because it's watching this Raptors team, you know, constantly win against teams that I'm pulling for. Obviously, with the Bucks, and then I've been pulling for the Warriors for a few years. I've got a brother that works in their media relations. If you ever need a favor, Dan, I cannot help you because he never seems to help me. But he, you know, I like him. So that I've been watching like the same game and seeing the Raptors win, and the Raptors deserve a ton of credit. They're maybe one of the best defensive teams we've seen this decade. Kawhi Leonard and Siakam and Lowry are doing exceptionally well, but I can't get over the fact that they're still overperforming, especially guys like Norman Powell against the Bucks, and then Fred VanVleet, who seemingly makes every shot that he puts up. If the Raptors win this series and you look back at this run, how much of it do you look at as skill that got them through? And then how much of it do you look at guys overperforming, guys like Van Vliet getting lucky, guys like Mirotić missing shot for the Bucks in a championship run for Toronto? How much is skill? How much is luck?
I do play. There's definitely some luck involved when you talk about Norman Powell's performance against the Bucks specifically, and then he's basically turned into a non-factor during the finals when they've been successful against the Warriors. But I actually place a lot of emphasis on skill for them. And the main reason for me is that this team, when you look at what's happened over the past year and what they've done slash what they've gone through, it kind of makes sense that they're peaking right now. They turned the roster over twice, essentially. First with the Kawhi Leonard trade and then with the Marc Gasol trade at the trade deadline. You also dealt with some injuries, not only to Lowry, not only Kawhi Leonard's maintenance program, but that was a big part of the bench sort of underperforming during the regular season, including VanVleet, is he was banged up. And so now you have these guys playing together for a little while. Fred VanVleet's healthy. Kawhi Leonard is banged up, but he's actually playing on an every-game basis. It seems to me that this is the ceiling they probably could have reached sooner if they were more invested in it, but they just didn't have a reason to, you know, one, try and get Lowry or Leonard to play every night during the regular season. And then two, now you're finally getting used to having Gasol and what his offensive tendencies are going to be and how do you play around those games where he's not going to take a ton of shots, sort of like that game two we saw from him. So I do place a lot of emphasis on skill. There's luck baked into every championship run, and there is a bit of randomness here just because of how this team was assembled and how it seemed like Kawhi Leonard was only going to be a rental for them. But you just look at the talent and how long they've had to put things together and how much they invested in making sure that this roster was, I don't want to say fresh because everyone's, you know, fatigued at this point in the season, but how much they restrained themselves from going all in during the regular season, it kind of makes sense to me that they'd be sniffing their apex now.
Talking with Dan Favalli of Bleacher Report. And Dan, let's move on from the NBA Finals. We saw the ratings. Nobody cares about that. Let's talk about what everybody does care about, the offseason. The Nets make a huge move. They trade Allen Crabbe to Atlanta yesterday. They end up freeing up about, what, $18.5 million, something like that, a bundle of cap space for the Nets, as it looks like they're going to try to bring in Kyrie Irving and make a huge pitch to him. First things first, you know, what do you think of what the Nets are doing, you know, with that? And second, do you think they have a shot at landing Kyrie? And can him and D'Angelo Russell work together, two ball-dominant guards? I know that's a loaded question, but I'm just I'm pretty excited for the offseason, as you could tell. And I like what the Nets are doing a lot.
I'm right there with you for the most part. I know that the Nets got Torian Prince back, who I like. I know they have the number 27 pick and also the number 31 pick. But to see them have control of their own first-round pick for the first time since 2013 and then just to trade it in a salary dump is absolutely wild. And you include that future first-round pick in the deal as well. They're sort of in a situation where they better have inside information that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are coming or someone else is coming or that you're just at least getting Kyrie Irving, because to give up those two first-round picks with Torian Prince, is extension eligible, going to be a restricted free agent this summer, it is pretty brash. And you can both respect it, but you also look at their cap situation before. They were really close to affording one max free agent and D'Angelo Russell. They would have needed a smaller salary dump, or you could have stretched and waived Allen Crabbe and not ideal, but kept your picks. And so now I think you're in a position where you need to make this splash in free agency, whether it's Kyrie keeping D'Angelo Russell and finding some role players, or this Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving pipe dream. And you almost have to lean towards the latter as well, because I don't think I think there's a clear offensive fit between Kyrie Irving and D'Angelo Russell in the backcourt. But defensively, that's going to be a problem. They're not going to cover up for one another. And then you run into this systemic overlap when you look at Spencer Dinwiddie being on the roster. Caris LeVert's another guy who could be a primary ball handler, and his next contract is coming up. So there's no way they end up paying all four of those guys. And so if you sign Kyrie Irving while keeping D'Angelo Russell, you're almost committing to then turning your roster over again. I like the aggression overall, and I do think they're going to end up being a team that stars look at in free agency, but there really is the potential for this to go sideways, again, unless they know that they have player X and player Y in the bag. And I think knowing how many people thought that about the Knicks when they traded Kristaps, I don't know that we can go to that definitive point just yet.
Do you think that the result of the finals has any impact on Kevin Durant leaving or staying with Golden State?
I've gotten a lot of pushback on this, but I absolutely do think it's going to have an impact on it. And maybe it's just a matter of saying, oh, well, now he's going to go to the Knicks or stay with the Warriors rather than, oh, he's definitely gone. But if you're him and it matters to you to build something on your own, or it matters to you at how much your importance is perceived, I don't know how you watch this series and don't understand that you're only going to become more essential to these Warriors as time goes on. I've already said that I think they need him at this point to win this series. But even moving forward, you look at Andre Iguodala is going to turn 36 next season. Sean Livingston, a lot of people expect to retire. Stephen Curry is entering his age 32 year next season. Klay Thompson and Draymond Green will turn 30. The Warriors aren't getting any younger. They're not getting any cheaper. They're not getting any deeper. And so he's going to become more important to them as the seasons wear on. And I do think, particularly if he ends up not playing in this series, even if they win and it's a seven-game slog, that he has to look at this and understand, you know, they need me more than people realize. And I do think that ultimately helps Golden State's recruiting pitch.
Dan, obviously we're all concerned with the Bucks this offseason because there's a lot of question marks following even a 60-win season and a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals, because you have a lot of free agent decisions to make with Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, Brooke Lopez, pretty much the entire team outside of Giannis and Eric Bledsoe. In your opinion, like, we look at the shift right now, and with the Eastern Conference Finals, like, the Knicks have money, now the Nets have money to bring in potential free agents. There's the rumor out there that Kawhi Leonard has bought property in Toronto and may actually stay with the Raptors. So do you feel like people, like, top players are going to want to come over to the East now? But, you know, like, we see what's going on in the West. You know, got LeBron James with the Lakers. Obviously, I don't think the Warriors are going anywhere, even if KD does leave, because you still have Steph and Klay most likely sticking together. So what do you think the Bucks should do this offseason? Like, if you're the general manager, do you keep Chris Middleton? Do you take a shot on a guy like, I don't even know the free agent names out there. I don't think you have a shot at Kevin Durant. Maybe a guy like Jimmy Butler. I mean, I really don't even know what free agent you could bring over here if you do let Middleton or Brogdon walk. So what do you think, in a perfect world, you do if you're the Milwaukee Bucks and you want to still compete with a team like the Nets, who have a possibility of bringing maybe Kyrie and Durant over, or the Knicks, who could bring over Kyrie and KD? Like, how do you stay pat and kind of establish yourself as the top team in the East when everybody else in the East is trying to get better this offseason?
Well, I think I do ultimately think standing pat's the right move, just because the length they would have to go to create cap space to chase a big name, it's going to cost you, probably both Middleton and Brogdon, unless you find ways to dump other salary. And that's not worth it for the chance to sign a star. We don't know that they would actually bag him. Mm-hmm. And I think by standing pat, you can figure out the luxury tax stuff later, figure out how to dump money later. And you look at what's happening in free agency with all these teams arming themselves with cap space, and I think you can argue that it might actually help the Bucks' standing in the East, because some of this talent now you have to believe is going to redisperse itself. Do you want Kevin Durant in the East? No, not necessarily. But if Tobias Harris or Jimmy Butler end up leaving the Philadelphia 76ers, they're weakened. If Kyrie Irving ends up leaving the Boston Celtics, they're not going to be as good without him. There's a chance that Kemba Walker ends up going to the West. We know Klay Thompson is not going to come over to the East. So if you see, you know, Boston and Philly, two teams that were considered some of their foremost rivals, lose a star, that's only really going to help them. We don't know what Kawhi is going to do, but if he stays in Toronto, you at least know what you're dealing with. The really only risk here for them is, you know, will Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant team up on the same team? And again, mm-hmm. even if that happens, it's going to come at the expense of at least one or two other teams. So I think the Bucks are in a pretty good position. I understand the financial concerns of standing pat, but to me, I'm always of the mind of, you keep this championship core in place, and then you figure out a way to reconcile the cost or cut salary later on.
Dan, really good insight. We appreciate your time as always, and we'll talk soon.
Most definitely. Thank you guys for having me. Take care.
Dan Favale, again, you can follow him on Twitter at that name, Dan, F-A-V-A-L-E. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Great Midwest Bank looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.